Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
I don't have a problem with, you know, necessarily putting up, you know, those lights that come on when somebody comes up to something. I have one out by my chicken coop. And so I just built a well house and I've got a light out there. And anytime, you know, it's a motion sensor light. And anytime anything goes by that area, then the light comes on. It's for my chickens because we have skunks and we have foxes out there and they come in and they ravage the chickens. And so, you know, put a light on out there. But, you know, ultimately, I'm not trusting in locks and I'm not trusting in lights to protect me. You know, I may be practical about those things, but ultimately, my trust is in the Lord. And I've got things in my house that I would protect my family with. And so one of the things that happened when my wife's grandfather died, he had a bunch of stuff. He was this, he was about this tall. And he was a really wiry guy. And he was really rowdy. He was a really rowdy guy. And I just liked him. You know, he's like my kind of people. And actually, I got to lead him to the Lord right before he died. And so that was a very cool thing. But he had all this stuff that was left over. So he had some tools and things like that. And he had this bat. And it's about this long. And what he did was he sawed off the big end of a bat. He kept the handle on the bottom. He rounded it off the top edge. And he had it under his bed. And so nobody else wanted it. And I was like, that's cool. I'll take that, you know, and it's under my bed. And so if you break into my house, you're liable to get your, you know, Bobby's grandpa's bat across the side of your head. I'll be praying for you as I do it, but, you know, and so it's kind of practical that way. But ultimately, I know that, you know, unless God's protecting me, that, you know, people can come in and they can do anything that they want to. Yeah. And so whether you have a gun or whether you have a bat or whether you have a light or whether you have a lock, where's your hope? Who's really the one who's protecting you? And it's the Lord. And Ezra knows all about escorts, military escorts. Obviously, he knows about this, but he's put himself in a position where he's ashamed to request one. And so he just goes, Lord, it's you. I got nothing else here because I am not going back on my word about you to Artaxerxes the king. And so, Lord, will you take care of us in this whole thing? Verse 23, it says, so we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. You know, fasting is something that is an important element of our prayer life. In the passage that we read out of Acts chapter 13, it talks about the fact that these guys were fasting and praying and ministering to the Lord. They were just spending time with God, seeking him. And the whole issue of fasting is the issue of, instead of feeding my face and always, you know, thinking about the next thing that I'm going to put in my belly. Let me tell you something that happens when you start getting older. You worry about things that go in your belly. And this is how I worry about them. It's like, I am way past, you know, when I was a kid, I was raised where, you know, whatever's on your plate, you need to eat it. You eat what's on your plate. And even if it isn't the greatest thing on your plate, then you need to eat it. And so that's a good thing. You know, waste not, want not, that whole thing. I had family that came from poverty. And so that's what we did. And so I'm used to that whole thing. And then I grow up, right? And so I grow up and I will go out to a restaurant, and I hate it when I go to a restaurant and I have a favorite meal that I'll get at certain restaurants. So there's places that I go that I really like what they have. And so going to Chico's Tacos, those guys have the best tacos in town. Okay, so you go to Chico's Tacos, that's where you get tacos. And if I want a chili relleno, I'm going to Azteca. I haven't found a better chili relleno in town, but Azteca. And if I want to have, I'm talking all about Mexican food. it's all I eat. No. If I want some, what's the soup? I totally forgot. I'm having a senior moment. Anyway, there's a soup that they make that has, it's, well, do I want to tell you what's in it? Yeah, it's a stomach lining in it. Yeah. Menudo. Yeah, menudo. Thank you. And so if I want menudo, I go to El Sazon. Best menudo in town. All right. And so I've got these places that I go. Man, Michelle, you just made a face. It's like when you're sick, menudo just made, it's better than chicken soup. It is so good. You know, I you can have chicken soup, white people. But it's so good. And so I have these places. I hate going to a restaurant where I know that there's something good and I order something bad and I have to eat it. Makes me mad. And so I have this tendency when I walk into a restaurant, do I want to step out? Do I want to try something new? Do I want to be adventurous in my food choices? And the answer is almost always no, I don't. I just want what I get to taste good. It needs to be like that. When I'm planning meals, I can't have too many meals anymore because I just go. And so when I'm planning out meals, the meal needs to be a good one. It's going to taste good. It's going to be good. And that's the way it is. I'm not settling for anything else. And so basically my life starts going around what goes into my belly. And that's not how life's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be like that. And obviously I understand the whole thing, but it's not supposed to be that way. And so fasting is all about humbling yourself before God. Life is no longer about what you're going to eat next. Life is no longer about what you're going to get next. Life is about something else at this point. And that's what fasting is for. It's taking the focus off of me and my desires and putting the focus on the Lord. And so Jesus, in three areas in the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about giving, and he talked about praying, and he talked about fasting. And in each one of those areas, he assumed that we were going to be doing these things. He didn't say, if you give, then you need to give this way. He said, when you give, you need to give like this. And when he was talking about praying, he didn't say, if you pray, pray this way. He said, when you pray, you need to pray like this. And we have the Lord's Prayer from that. And he goes, don't pray like this, pray like this. There's a way not to pray, and then there's a way to pray. Don't pray with endless repetitions, thinking that you're going to be heard for your much speaking. Instead, you pray this way, my Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name, and so on. And then he said, and when you fast. I think that most Christians, we are up to speed, at least somewhat, on giving. We know that we're to be giving people. We know that we're supposed to be giving to the Lord and giving to the others who are around us. And so we're up to speed on that. We know that we're supposed to be praying. And so we're taking things before the Lord. But do we fast? Are you fasting? And fasting is one of those disciplines that can just be really profitable. I have permission from people to tell you stories about them. And generally speaking, I don't like to do that because it's not my business telling another person's story. But my daughter moved out of my house and she got herself into some real trouble, And I had to go and grab her and rescue her. And when that whole thing was taking place, I was really worried about it because she was on the edge. It was like she was on the edge of just bagging it and going off into the world, or even bagging it and taking her life. She was telling me at the time. And so it was one of those situations where she had become willful in some areas. And so I just let her go. I said, you don't get to stay here. You don't get to do this stuff. And I have permission to do this. She'll tell you the real story later on, but you don't have permission to do this in my home. And so you need to make a choice. And so you can be here in my home or you're on your own. And so which one do you pick? And she obviously picked being on her own. And then life for her went down the tubes really quickly. And so what happened was after a period of time, I'm watching her and keeping contact with her, and it was just getting ridiculous. And so I went out and grabbed her. And I brought her home, and we went through some things with her. And she decided to get involved in some areas and in certain ministries and that kind of thing. And I didn't just leave it there. What I did was I started fasting for her. And so I can't fast all the time because if I do, we'll have a repeat of Steve's famous repeat the story twice in a sermon. And there was a point where I fast. I fast every once in a while. And so there was a point where generally I won't be fasting when I'm going to do a Bible study because I'm already as scatterbrained as I want to be. And when I'm fasting, I'm even more scatterbrained. And so a lot of times what I'll do is I'll fast for a period of time. And then right before I'm going to do a Bible study, I'll eat. And so I figure that'll take care of it. And so this one time on a Sunday morning, I had been fasting all week long, and I broke the fast on Saturday night and had a meal, thought I was going to be good, woke up on Sunday, and I told a story, first service Sunday morning. We get to second service, and at the beginning of the service, I tell exactly the same story, right, which was part of the service, and that's fine. I'm repeating what happened first service. Well, I get to the end of second service, and I forgot. I couldn't remember if I told the story in that service or not. And so I couldn't remember if it was first service that I told the story or second service that I told the story. So I start telling the story again. And so I'm telling it, and I can't remember what the story was, but it's a really funny story. People always laugh when I tell this story. And I'm looking out, and it's just dead silence. You know, I'm telling a story. They're looking at each other. People are looking at each other. My son is sitting, he's right here on the edge of his seat, and he's looking up at me, you know, real weird. And I'm like, what is going on? This is really funny. What's wrong with these people? They're having a bad day. You know, that kind of thing. And so I get done with the whole study, and my son comes running up to the podium up here, and he goes, Dad, you told that story twice in the same Bible study. And I said, why didn't you say something? He goes, I wanted to see what would happen. He's such a punk. That's what happens to me when I fast. And so generally speaking, what I'll do is I'll start fasting on a Monday. And usually on Wednesday night, I'm okay. But I'll start fasting on a Monday, and I'll go to Thursday, and then I'll break the fast on Thursday, and then I'll start eating on Friday. And by Sunday, I'm good for two services, and then we could start it again. And so that's what I did for her. I was praying for her. I was asking God to intercede, to change her heart, to change her mind, to do a work in her. And I fasted for quite a while for her. And I saw things change in her life, just flip around. Just, you know, she was scary. It's my daughter that I'm speaking about. But from my perspective, she was scary messed up. I'd never seen her thinking in the ways that she was thinking at the time that this was going on. And so I started praying and fasting for her, and you would not believe the changes that started taking place in her. It was just a really awesome thing. I really encourage you to be fasting for situations, fasting for people. Up until the point where it was my daughter, when I have fasted over a situation, fasted and prayed over a situation, sometimes I'm doing that about decisions. Sometimes I'm doing that for some of you. But it wasn't until it was with my daughter where it was this intense thing where if this doesn't come through, if this doesn't happen, this is going to be awful. This is going to be really bad. And it was somebody I cared intensely about, that I really saw God. It's not that I hadn't seen God moving before, because he was. But this time, it mattered more to me. It mattered a lot to me that God was moving in her life. And so, you know, we need to be fasting for things. And so there are times when you are praying about a decision, or you are praying about a problem, or you are praying about a temptation. And I just commend to you the fact that you might want to take and proclaim a fast and just go, Lord, I want to spend this time seriously seeking after you. And fasting is not about twisting God's arm. It's not the idea of, okay, God, I'm not going to eat until you do what I tell you. You know, that's not what a fast is about. It's the idea of I'm no longer focused on me and my needs. And instead of being focused there at these times, I'm going to be focused on you. When I'm fasting and I get hungry, that's when I pray. And it's just a great reminder to pray. I always have to do this when I talk about fasting. You need to drink while you're fasting. So you drink water while you're fasting at the very least. And there's different kinds of fasts. There's juice fasts and that kind of thing. But you need to drink water when you fast. I had a guy come up to me one time after I taught on fasting. He decided to do it. And he was 6 days into a fast. 6 days. And he came up to me and he said, Steve, I'm having a real problem. And I said, what's the problem? Because usually after like the third day, I'm fine. You know, it's like first day, get a headache and all that kind of stuff because you're not drinking coffee or whatever. And And so you get a headache and your body's going, we need food. What happened to your throat? Did it get cut? What's, you know, and your body's doing that. Second day, you start getting really hungry. And then usually by the third day, I'm okay. And then, you know, it's a cruise from that point on. I've fasted up to the most I've ever done is like 28 days. And the only reason I quit was because I was tired of it. I wasn't hungry. I was just, you know, it's like, okay, I need to move on with my life now. And God had already answered stuff. And at that point, I was just doing it to see how far I could go. And so that's the longest I fasted. After you go past 3 days to a week, you're not hungry anymore. And so this guy comes up to me and he goes, Steve, I'm having a really real problem with my fast. And I said, well, what's the problem? And he goes, I'm really thirsty. And I go, you're thirsty? What do you mean you're thirsty? He goes, well, I'm fasting, so I'm not eating any food or drinking any water. And I'm like, you got to drink water. You can go for 2 months without eating. You know, people don't starve. And, you know, depending on how your body's built, and my body, it's probably, you know, 2.5-3 months. You can go fasting before you starve. But like 5-6 days, you die if you don't drink water. And so you got to drink water. And so, you know, when you fast, you make sure that you're being hydrated and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, all the times that you would normally eat, you just spend focusing on the Lord. And it's fruitful. As he says in this passage, so we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. They're really serious about going to the Lord for his protection because it's a serious situation. Millions of dollars going through the desert. Robbers all around. We need to fast and pray. And so they took it seriously, and God was faithful to these guys, took care of them. Verse 24, it says, and I separated 12 of the leaders of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and the 10 of their brethren, weighed out to them the silver, the gold, the articles, the offering for the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his princes and all Israel who were present had offered. And I weighed into their hand the number of articles and talents of silver and gold that we talked about. Verse 27, gold basins worth 1,000 drachmas and vessels of fine polished bronze and precious as gold. Verse 28, and he says, and I said to them, you are holy to the Lord. The articles are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering to the Lord God of your fathers. Watch and keep them until you weigh them before the leaders of the priests and the Levites and heads of the fathers' houses of Israel and Jerusalem in the chambers of the house of the Lord. And so Ezra gives responsibility to these men to protect these articles until they get to the city of Jerusalem and to watch over those things. And he specifically makes the point that these are things that have been given by the king and his counselors and his princes, and they're freewill offerings from the people. And so you need to watch over these things. That's how we treat tithes and offerings. It's not mine. It's not the church's. It's not, you know, it's like when people tithe here, it's like I treat it like what it is. It's an offering to the Lord. And so we need to be careful about those things. And we give, I'm going to give an account of everything that's done with the money that's spent around here. And so I'm not necessarily radically stingy about things because I need to be kind to the people who are ministering here and that kind of thing. But on the other hand, I am not somebody who just goes out and spends. When people come in with requests to do things with the money, whether it's, you know, for the sound system or for the Sunday school or for the ranch or those kinds of things, I go over those requests. And if we don't need to do it, we don't do it. You know, if it's just something that's kind of just a want and not necessarily a need, then I don't do that stuff. One of the things that I've noticed over the years is that musicians have this tendency to want. And so I've had guys who were on the worship team, and they go, Steve, we need this thing. And I'm like, well, what do you need it for? And they tell me what they need it for, and it's like, just make the worship all this, you know, awesome and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I don't necessarily know everything that they're going to be doing with it. And I go, okay, go ahead, you can go ahead and buy it. And then about 6 months later, I'm in the sanctuary, and I'm looking around, and I'm going, where's the thing that we just bought? Well, it didn't really work out. What do you mean it didn't work out? That puppy cost $800. What are you talking about? It didn't work out. And so that was a while back. And so now when I talk to the guys, I go, I don't want to be talking to you in 6 months and you telling me that that didn't work out. And, you know, we just spent this money on this stuff. It's not our money. And so you need to be sure of what you're going to do with this stuff so we don't have a pile of equipment sitting someplace that we don't need anymore because we bought the wrong thing. We have piles of equipment that sit places because we needed them at a certain point, and now we're in a different kind of building. And so we can use them for other things. But I don't want to just buy equipment and then set it aside, buy equipment and set it aside. And so we don't do that. And the reason is because this is stuff that's been given by you. It's been given to the Lord. And we're going to give an account of it when we get to heaven, right? So you have that. Here's the other thing about this. Ezra, again, is a type of the Holy Spirit. And so there are gifts that are given from the king. And they're given to the people. And so Ezra, the helper, comes along and hands a gift to these guys. He says, it's very valuable. You need to watch it and you need to keep it because you're going to get to Jerusalem and you're going to give an account of this thing. Can you see where I'm going? Yeah. The Holy Spirit passes out gifts and they're given from the king and they're valuable. And he hands them to you and he wants you to watch over them and he wants you to keep them. When God gives you something, he wants it to be yours, and you're to do the things that he's called you to do with them, because you're going to give an account when you get to the New Jerusalem. It's that kind of picture. And so there are times when God will do something in somebody's life as far as maybe giving them, you know, a certain gift of the Holy Spirit. And so that could be anywhere from a gift of prophecy to the gift of tongues to the gift of word of knowledge, whatever, praying for people. Do you have a gift of giving? Are you able to make money? A lot of times, you know, there are these people who are just gifted in the area of making money. And I know some guys like that. And what they do with their money is they give it to the Lord. And so it's a gift in that kind of sense. And so you see all these different abilities and different giftings that God gives to people. And we are accountable before God to do everything that we do is unto the Lord. And so I don't want to be wasting my life. I don't want to be wasting the resources that God's given to me. I want to be faithful with what he's given to me, because there's coming a day when I'm going to stand before Jesus and he's going to be going through the list of things that I've done for him. And it's going to be about a reward. But I have no doubt, you know, it's like I'm not a person who thinks that I've taken every gift that God's ever given me and I've used it to the fullest of its extents. Usually I'm staying up at night going, God, I wonder if I did that right. And God, should I be doing more? And God, you know, and that's how I'm built. So I'm always thinking that way. So I'm not preaching this from the standpoint of I've taken God's gifts and I've done awesome things with them. And so when I stand before him, it's going to be great. I'm a little worried about the judgment. I'm not worried in the sense of whether or not I'm going to heaven. I know that's all taken care of. But, you know, I had some times in my life where life was stable when I was a kid. And you just wanted to please your dad, and he gave you a task, and you did it, and you know that you messed up, and you're kind of like, I could have done that better. And he comes up and he's examining what you've done, trying to be nice, and he goes, yeah, that was pretty good, Steve. And I'm just like, could have done it better. Shouldn't have done it that way. You know, should have been paying attention. I don't want to feel that way when I get to heaven. I don't want that kind of thing to go on. And so God's given you things. You need to be using them. Paul, when he was talking to Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that's in you that was given to you by the laying on of hands, by the leadership, by the elders. And Timothy was one of those guys that was kind of timid. And probably the gift that's being spoken about there is his gift of leadership, his gift of teaching. Because Paul, numerous times when he's talking to the man, he goes, don't you let people judge you. Don't let them judge your youth. You need to be doing the things that God's called you to. And so he encourages him in those areas to stir those things up. And I would just encourage you to be stirring up the gifts that God's given to you.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.